Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast with your host, Mr. Too Rich, your Southern urban voice. A place where relevant, rich conversations are had with professionals, providing insight to innovative solutions that will help you move your business, career, and life to the next level. Here's your host. Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast. This week we have Justin Riedrich, the Bitcoin Vegan. This was an amazing and very informative episode. He has a brand new course out, a Bitcoin course that will help you get started in Bitcoin. And as you know, I'm definitely a cryptocurrency advocate over here. So it's a great thing to dig off into. Be sure to go to his website at www.bitcoinvegan.com and check out his course. Get his course. It's very inexpensive and it will help you get started. And once you get off into cryptocurrency and I start seeing these gains, you'll be hooked. Let's get into the conversation.
The Too Rich to Miss podcast.
Let's just go on and hop right into it, Justin. I done some research on you, man. And in the midst of looking you up, you're a deep brother, man. You got a lot of positive stuff going on. I mean, you are really doing it big over there. I found your article. Well, I found an article that they wrote on you. Well, are you still in Charlotte?
I'm still in Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I looked up and I found the article. Let's see, that Fran Farmer wrote on you back in 2019.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it really told me a lot about you because I wanted to, because originally when I looked at you and I saw your profile and I saw the Bitcoin class and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. As you know, we got a brother out there, you got a Bitcoin class. That's what's up, you know, because, you know, I feel like the cryptocurrency is definitely a good avenue, you know, for us as Black people to be able to jump into right now. It's real small, even though the numbers are big, but in relation to where it can go, it's real small. So I was excited about that. And then you're a vegan. And then I'm like, that'll be a great conversation. Just those two things alone.
Yeah.
You know, and then as I dug a little further, I'm like, wow, he's a health coach, you know, like a real health coach.
Yeah, no, that was a wild journey, brother. But yeah, I just tried to you know, make best of what was happening at the moment. And eventually they just all get rolled up into one, I guess. But, because I was just trying to try different things and you know, in those positions, you just don't know what's going to hit. But when I learned about Bitcoin, and that was in like 2016, it was one of those things that just stuck with me. And the whole world really, like, people didn't really anything I knew I was talking about. A lot of times people don't think I know what I'm talking about. And so it's like, it's all about learning. And, you know, you go through that first phase of, you know, self-education. And then, you know, you start needing someone, or not needing, but you start having, you know, ways of furthering your knowledge and trying to build it into something that's real instead of just, you know, doing it sporadically or here and there. So that's that's what it is.
Oh, okay. All right. And I totally agree. Totally agree. I'll also, man, I'm going over here looking at my notes, and the reason why I sent you that message and I'd ask you how long, because I'm sitting there thinking, I just did a podcast last week that was talking about unlearning. Mm-hmm. And essentially it's all about mindset, which this goes right into your wheelhouse of all of your stuff. You know, because I listened to your podcast that you did with Christoph.
Okay, yeah. Oh, word, yeah. Christoph.
Yes. So I was listening to that. And then I was like, wow, this is interesting. I just did unlearning because as I've gone down this journey, this journey of life in general, and I'm sure you can relate to this, I'm realizing that a lot of my failures, personally speaking, because I can't speak for nobody else, my own personal issues and failures mostly have been when my mind and my thinking wasn't right. Because when my thinking wasn't right, I inevitably made a decision that was counterproductive. And and then I also thought about the times that I made decisions based on listening to, you know, peers or even parents or people that you grew up with, and they're advising you based on the best of their knowledge.
Yeah, and their knowledge is not always the best.
Right. And we still have to be, and the whole point of the podcast was to be inspired to have a growth mindset and to even possibly get with people like you, because you actually clinically can actually help people. You like help people get the right mindset for real, right? I mean, this is what one of the things that you still do. Yes.
Yes, sir. It's even when like I might be focusing on a different area of what I could teach. Mm-hmm. It's like, it still goes with the mind, because you have to open someone's mind up so they can, you know, see different possibilities. Like, because everybody, if you only deal with what your peers say, then you know how they say you are the sum of the five pieces closest to you. And you know, if everybody, like, one time I realized, like just dealing with finances, a lot of folks around me were in the same financial position. You know, you have money, then you lose it, you gotta do this again, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why are we all in this cycle? And to realize, like, you know, we all looking at the money the wrong way, or, you know, finance the wrong way. And then when you start having that realization, you know, you start noticing that there is a such thing as a scarcity mindset. There is a such thing as a, you know, a mindset that's based all on fear. Whether they want to admit it or not, it's just fear-based. That, you know, a lot of it comes with just not having the proper mechanics, if that makes sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
A lot of us sometimes do things backwards.
Yep.
And then think like we're going to get the result, but we just go in a circle.
Yep. Yep. That hamster mentality. I was, I was looking at, actually, I heard something that you said, and I thought it was real important. And I kind of want you to expound on it. And I'm looking at my notes if I'm looking kind of this way. So not trying to be disrespectful. I got notes over here. So you wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror. What's the first thing you say to yourself, and why is this important? I thought this was good when I heard you talk about that.
Oh, you were talking about when I said the whole I love you thing?
Yeah, but you were saying it to yourself, and you mentioned that, and I was like, maybe it was just a me thing, but I was like, I wonder how many people understand the importance of them telling themselves that, so that they can build that self-confidence to go out, and if they're building a business, to talk about their business that they're trying to sell, even if it's a side hustle. Because everybody doesn't necessarily need to be an entrepreneur. It's not for everybody. It doesn't work out all that well. well, if your discipline isn't right.
Right. I mean, because, you know, when you do something like that and you're looking, you know, you get to see all the, I guess, what's called imperfections of yourself, and you'll like you'll hear yourself like talk down about yourself, like, oh, I don't like that, but then it's like, I love you. And then it's just like, you know, you just keep looking at yourself and say it. A lot of times folks don't say it to themselves. They think they understand. I mean, I can say they think, you know, they understand what self-love is, but you know, that's something that's like a lot of people don't do. You know, people say, well, I love myself a lot, but never looked at themselves and said, I love you. And, you know, when I first did it, like, it was a real eye-opening experience. Like, you know, that's all the love you need. I mean, you know, you need more, but that's the most important love to have.
Right.
You know, like, because when you love yourself, you actually you treat yourself like you do, you know, like, you just really treat yourself like you love yourself. Like, you just don't talk about it, but it's in all of your movements. It's how you take care of yourself. You know, things you put in your body, what you put in your brain. You know, the people you surround yourself by, like, that's where you really start noticing how much you love yourself. It's not always about just distancing yourself from people and cutting folks off. Like, it's about something serious, and it's about something real, man. And,
absolutely.
You know, that's how love should really be, you know, talked about amongst, you know, people and each other. Because you just don't know, you don't say it, you don't really know how much you really love yourself.
This is true. Now, do you have a lot of, now, as far as going down this same loving yourself thing, do you see that that's something that we as Black men have a problem with, as far as when you're coaching, and any of your clients, just in general, is that something that we had the biggest problem with?
I mean, you know, Black men, we are like, I don't necessarily really work with a lot of Black men.
Oh, okay.
It's not on purpose, though. I mean, I have, but I mean, even just being one and having friends and just talking, you know, we are told, we were like born to suppress emotion. And it was like I said, backwards, like, and this suppressing of emotion, you know, even you know, Black women, they look at it as like a sign of strength. It's really, you know, it's not. Like, it's real sad that, you know, the Black Panther didn't share, you know, with anyone that he had cancer. You know, that he had to feel like, I had to hold that in. I got to be strong. Like, you know, that's, I don't even know if that's all the reasons, but, you know, just collecting that off of what I hear other, you know, some of my friends say, you know, it's like, you can't make it by yourself. You know, you weren't created for that. And like, you know, we sometimes with that whole silent, you know, not wanting to show emotion, you end up accepting things that you're not. Like, for me, folks might look at me sideways, but I'll tell you straight up whether I'm gonna do it or not. Like, I don't care if it doesn't fit what you perceive a man to be. I know what I said, and I know that if I'm, you know, if I'm gonna do something that deals with me, then I'm just gonna do it. But I mean, like, we aren't really, you know, we have been taught not to show emotion. And here's the thing, like, people always think emotion means something like you crying. Like, right. That's like the craziest thing to me. Like, well, you know, you get all emotional. I'm like, man, if I have a smile on my face, that's still emotion.
True.
Like, it's certain wording and like how, like I said, how we've been depicted to think we should be, you know, and it's like, nah, it's not like that. Like, you know, you gotta be a whole being, you know.
True.
You, because otherwise no one connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
You have situations where you end up being alone, or, you know, so it's been a lot of misplaced energy. Like, a lot of times we don't think we're supposed to love ourselves. We think, you know, we're supposed to put everybody in front of us, you know, the family, the kids, the wife, the girlfriend, this. I'm like, nah, like, if I don't take care of me first, y'all not gonna have nothing.
Yeah, this is true. And you know, you made a real good point about that, and I thought that was so good as well. Because we're gonna talk about the Bitcoin stuff too. But I think this part is really good as well. Because like I said, for a lot of people I run into, and just kind of talking about Black brothers, you know, I run into a lot of good brothers with great ideas, great abilities, and it's not that they can't, it's not that they can't physically do it or don't have the wherewithal to do it or the skill to do it, but it's they're stinking thinking, improper mindset in some way or another, thinking about money wrong, being consumers versus investors, not even, you know, just the whole concepts are just totally off. And and presenting your best self was one of the things that you mentioned as well that, you know, that I thought was really good because we, and I know I'm guilty. I'm totally guilty of this because that's why when you said it, it hit me. And and I'm sure there's a lot of people that do it as well because I think I need to make sure my wife is good. I need to make sure my daughter is good. My son is good. You know, even if they don't know I'm trying to make sure they're good, I'm making sure that all of them good, you know. And then I think about me like, oh, yeah, I do need to eat breakfast. Oh, man, wait, I haven't ate lunch today. Let me back, you know. And right, when you're presenting your C minus self versus your A self, you know, it's you're doing everybody a disservice. And I guess another reason, man, I kind of wanted to get you to kind of talk about this stuff is we don't see a lot of us talking about what you're talking about as far as us taking care of ourselves as brothers and us having the balanced conversation about emotion, not just being tears and crying, but, you know, just being honest about something, just telling us, being straight up and saying no.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes I feel like we are, as a black man, I mean, you know, the words, and sometimes the words I say aren't for everyone, but sometimes I feel like we have been brought up to enable, you know, people around us, like, take care of everything, do all of this. Like, it's like, what I had to learn or go through, I'm not saying, you know, I want anybody around me to have it hard, but you got to unlearn your habits.
True.
Like, I just can't, like, you can't just be a black man doing everything for everybody. And like, you know, when you pass on, they go back to being them because you held their hand the whole damn time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's the real truth, you know, like, just say you do everything, you know, financially wise or whatever for your household, and you pass on, where's your legacy gonna have? You know what I mean? Like, if you're the only one with good financial education or, you know, spending habits, whatever, what's gonna happen to your children? Because you wanted it, because you thought you had to enable everybody, including your wife, you know, including your mom, her mom, whatever. Like, man, I've seen a lot of stuff go down the drain because of that. And so it's like, man, it's not about it right now. It's just like, you know, what's going to happen beyond this? Like, what are we going to learn? Because you're in a situation now where everybody wants to be financially literate or health conscious. But you forget that, like, and this is what another thing I deal with coaching, like, just deals with habits, like, these habits you have. They have to line up with what you want. Otherwise, they're going to just, when that moment comes and everybody's on autopilot, it's just going to be a wreck. So, I mean, it's important to really, you know, I feel like nowadays, the state that we're in as black people, it's important for black men to know how to, like, you know, really lead by sometimes, like, being like, hey, the bigger overall picture isn't because we can go to Aruba, you know, or because we can god dang just, you know, have all these fun filled events. You gotta know, like, life is serious. And it's not just about what you have now, but, you know, what are you gonna leave behind? You know, that's for men and women. You know, you don't wanna just, you can't enable people just because it sounds popular to do. Like, and if we have the wrong, we have, like, we really have a lot of wrong messages. Like, and it's not a consistent, like we, you know, all of us, majority of us listen to hip hop. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the people, you know, who were the hottest, they talk the most crazy stuff only when does, you know, something tragic happen that you start hearing them. But yo, you weren't really a leader. You don't want to be one. You know, you're just identifying someone who has a voice. And people, they take these words and they try to make them real. And they say, well, they folks might say they don't, but if you step back and just look, it's like, sometimes these things just don't add up. So, like, that's why I even felt like I wanted to be in Bitcoin or any of that, because, like, if you don't have no one that looks remotely like you, then you're just going to be like, well, you know, that ain't for us. Like, you know, that's they money. That's this, that, and the third. So you have to have some representation, and, you know, you want to be there to the point where once people, you know, I start opening up about situations, they can have someone they could go to talk to, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And and that's definitely, I'm totally in agreement with everything you're saying, you know. I'm just being a sponge right now, you know, because I was just talking about this stuff last week, and I was sitting there thinking, man, it'll be cool if I ran into somebody who actually really, you know, like does this, you mm-hmm. know. And like I said, and when you popped up, I was like, oh my God, yes. You know, because I just think it's cool, you know, and I think we need to make it cooler for us to be vegan, you know. I mean, because my wife just delved into the vegan thing not too long ago. And I'm gonna keep it real with you, man. She been showing me she tells me the stuff and talks about the different, like, there's mushrooms that are like the chicken tenders thing and
oyster mushrooms.
Yeah. So she was talking about those, and we went to this vegan spot, and I got the little, what they make as a burger. It was the vegan burger, and, you know, and it looked different, and it's a different taste and all that. And she goes through and talk about all the health benefits, and I'm stubbornly still like, oh, you know, I'm gonna hit the rib joint, you know. And I mean, I'm in Virginia, you know, and we got relatives out there in Kinston and all out there, you know. So I mean, and I lived in Texas for a while. I mean, so barbecue and steaks and meat and all that. And I know it's not good for me, but it goes back to something that I have to unlearn, you know. And going back to what you're talking about, all this meat isn't necessarily the best thing for us, though, right? That's why, is that one of the reasons? Well, I know your daughter is the reason why you're, what your motivation. But other than that, did the health part of you kind of say, oh?
I mean, I remember one time I was just at the beach, and like, I was with my girlfriend then, and we were eating, and we just eating everything. And I'm like, yo, like, I gained so much weight in 2 weeks, and I ain't really like how I started feeling on the inside. But plus, I had already started, like, you know, just seeing stuff about veganism and Dr. Sebi, and it was like, the more I kept reading it, the more I kept eating, it's like my brain telling me, like, nah, you know, yeah, it started making sense a bit when he was like, you know, when you're eating dead meat for food or dead products, it's only natural that things start happening to your body. And then I would just always think, like, you know, I was like, well, what is really going on? I heard of it, but I was just like, well, I'm willing to try it, you know, and I hopped out there and did that. And one of the biggest benefits I saw was that, you know, I didn't have to feel so heavy. And I would go to the doctor and still, you know, had good results. But one of the things I ended up learning later on is the fact, like, you know, you can still gain weight and be vegan, and, you know, you still have to, you know, when I started becoming a health coach, I started looking at not just what I eat, but how I ate, you know, the time of day I ate, you know, if I'm eating on the move, because it's all about, you know, you have to have proper digestion of your food. And I don't really like eating past a certain time, no matter, like, even if it is vegan, like, it's still going to sit there.
So that really is a thing, not eating after a certain time. I mean, cause my wife has been saying that for years, but even before she was vegan, but that's a thing.
Like when you go to bed, your body, like it's like when you go to sleep, your body goes through like a third shift cleaning. And if it's doing too much, you know, breaking down food and processing the food don't really do much. Like you, and so like you end up going to bed on the food, like I said, and especially if you're eating late, you're already tired. No matter what you eat, it's just gonna start piling up. And after a minute, you know, you just realize like, dang, I'm really gaining some weight. And, you know, so a lot of times it's like paying attention to, you know, not just what you eat, but like timing of eating. Like, it might take food hours to digest, but people be eating on top of food. Like, okay, I just had lunch. I had breakfast at 8 or 9. Let me have this big lunch at 12. And it's like, you know, half of your food might have not already digested. And that, it's just a weird situation sometimes. Like, you got to really pay attention to, you know, just what is going on in your body. And sometimes you gotta be honest, like, am I eating because I'm hungry, or am I eating just because this is just the time of day I usually eat? You know, just, and well, it's 12, I need to eat something. Like, are you really hungry though? Or are you just eating because
it's when you think you're supposed to be eating?
Yeah, you know, so and of course, exercising is very key, and the level of which, and I started becoming an advocate for it. You know, I'm always big on investing in yourself. So I used to try to do the whole, well, I'm going to work myself out type of thing. But man, I need somebody to push me. And so, you know, you know, if you got a gym, like people say, you know, gym memberships are expensive, but like how, you know, like you don't have to do the craziest one, but you go in there 3 times a week. And you might, you know, do some light stuff at home, you could be all right, but you don't want to just be making this excuse because, you know, well, it's expensive and you still eat out all the time. Like, you know, you gotta, like, one of the things I noticed, you gotta look at the numbers.
True.
You know, like, look at the numbers, look where the money goes. Like, a guy said, you can never be good in business if you don't know your numbers and look at your numbers.
That's a fact.
You know, that's even with life, like, look at your numbers. Like, if I'm spending 40 a week on food, that's 160 a month that can go towards the gym, or at least 80 if you cut it in half and go to the grocery store. But you know, it's all about distinct, like real defined detail. And
this is true, and it gets to what I like to think of as having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. You know, growth in my broad definition, meaning you're willing to step back and learn something different. You know, you're willing to take an honest look and say, is this what I've been doing and gaining all this weight and not healthy? You know, are all of these things really good, or could this other thing, cutting calories, exercising, actually work out? And I mean, it's just like you said, it's the numbers too that a lot of us don't think about. Because it's just like you said, if we all really took an honest look at our finances, and I don't think a lot of us do, but if a lot of us took an honest look at our finances, we could probably have 2 coffees a week versus 4. You know what I mean? We might be in it. I mean, you know, the little things, you know, we might go to Starbucks 5 times a week and man, oh, it's just Starbucks, but them Starbucks add up. Them 7-Eleven coffees add up. The Dunkin' Donuts add up, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Yeah. When that hot sign come on, I mean, it's, you know, I can't front. I do it too. But let's get in and talk about Bitcoin and go and talk about your class. Because I appreciate your time and I don't want to hold you too long here because it's, you've been great and I can go down the line. I can go down the line with stuff because you also said real quick, one more of your quotes, because I got a page of stuff that you mentioned. Well, a couple of more. You said, if you have a strong enough why, the how will appear. That was a good one, but the one that really kind of stuck out beyond all of that, you have to be a disaster before you can be a master.
Yeah.
Did you steal these from your dad?
Nah, I actually heard that one from this woman who's a coach where I got my certification. But it was just so real. I was just like, because everybody wants to be perfect out the gate. You know, I got to get it right. I got to do this. I got to have this. If this don't look like this. And it's like, I mean, it's really not worth it to be stuck in procrastination, but thinking you being like perfectionism is procrastination. And, you know, you're not going to know what you're doing. Like, I mean, let's look at LeBron. I mean, look how many times he had to go before he got his first ring.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you have those, you know, I mean, you have those situations where, like, even not even the NBA LeBron, but just growing up learning basketball, like, he had to go through a period of not being the best. You know, you got to go through periods of just, like, fumbling. Like, because you're not going to learn what to do if you don't fumble. You know what I mean? You got to fumble, like, and you got to fumble often. Because if you do it enough times, I remember I read somewhere that mentioned the only reason people are successful because they failed more than someone else and they learn from. Like, if I have more attempts than you, I'm bound to start making the shots, but I have to get the attempts up. Like, even with business, my first thing out the gate was always trying to get over this fear of, like, you know, talking about money from a client or going out there and, like, trying to close a deal, so to speak, with my business. It was like, that was the biggest thing. And I fumbled a lot. Like, it was for a long time. I just didn't know. And now, even after the pandemic, it's like, all right, I want to get more, you know, on social media, and not just social media, but the internet. But it's going to take some bumps, bruises, spend money, might not go the way you thought it was going to go, and, you know, go back and do it all over again. But the constant repetition is just how I learned anything in life, especially coming home from prison. It was just like, well, I've already, quote unquote, failed. So let's just keep shooting the shot like Kobe, and you're bound to do something. Like, if you do something every day consistently, it don't even have to be every day, but if it's really consistent, you have no choice but to get better. Like, you just can't go back. Can't get worse when you're actually putting the effort. You know, you're just going through a phase, and then you're going to level up. It's just like that. Like, it's not, success is not linear. And we have that problem of thinking like, well, I'm just going to shoot for the sky. And, you know, people only post the wins on social media.
That's a fact. Yeah, I mean, because you had said life is an ascending staircase.
It is.
I mean, yeah. As you're going up, your legs may get tired, you may get cramps, but that doesn't mean you turn around and go down the stairs.
Why did you walk all those steps?
Exactly. I'm going to transition over into Bitcoin and your Bitcoin class. You know, because we can go back and forth with this one. Why? I can talk about this because it's just so, except for me, it's just so eye-opening because a lot of things changed in my life, you know, when I started thinking differently, you know, just thinking differently. I mean, even in the midst of out here doing my voiceover stuff and my voiceover career and doing social media and all of that, one of the things that you did, saying we're going to get into Bitcoin, I promise. One of the things my voiceover coach told me that you had mentioned in this article when you were dealing with your clients, your business clients, was that you want them to see themselves being themselves or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. When they had said that, that was one of the things that my voiceover coach said, because he said you just need just be you and just stop trying to, you know, to be like these other people who I was trying to say, okay, well, this one has a great voiceover career, I'm gonna do him and I'm gonna do him. And he was like, nah, just do you. Yeah. And you'll be fine. And you were mentioning that in your article. But getting into Bitcoin now, would you consider yourself, because you got a great Bitcoin course, and I think us being Black people, having positive things going on in this crypto space is good. So would you consider yourself a maximalist, or is your Bitcoin class just the first class in what will come of some other cryptocurrency courses?
I'm pretty much a maximalist. I'm not going okay. to make no courses about crypto, because, like I said this on the Melanated Money podcast, they asked me, you know, how I felt about a cryptocurrency. I'm like, I mean, they could be cool. Like, I've purchased some, but I don't really put my money there. I've had Litecoin and Ethereum, but the reason I kept my money in Bitcoin is because Bitcoin has a term they call hyper Bitcoinization.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, if a third world country was just to, like, all get Bitcoin, you will see Bitcoin do some amazing things. Like, and a lot of times, you know, when Bitcoin is going up in price, another cryptocurrency is going up in price. And it was like, to me, I mean, I'm not a trader, you know,
right.
But it was like, to me, it was just like, well, that price is going up and Bitcoin is going up. Like, I didn't really have the time to catch all of that. Like, I did have a lot going on. And I was just thinking, like, man, trading is just gonna be so convoluted. But, like, when it comes to other cryptocurrencies, and, you know, for Justin Redrick, I really do, you know, like, I will only promote, you know, stuff about Bitcoin itself. But it can go into deeper classes and courses and, you know, coaching about Bitcoin. Like, that class I have, it's just a very beginner, not even just a very beginner, but it goes over the basic fundamental principles of Bitcoin.
Right.
So, and not just, I don't do the whole high level trading talk, the high technical stuff. And I try to make sure people know, like, yes, this is an investment, but it's not like your everyday investment. Like, that you need to be open-minded to learn that, because without it, you know, your money might get caught up in something that you had no business putting your Bitcoin in. So those are, like, you have, and I teach people the way of looking at the appreciation over anything. Like, there's nothing appreciating like Bitcoin, ever.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's,
you know, the only thing that probably can compete is slavery. But outside of that, it's like,
yep,
nothing.
Yeah, so, this is true. As a store of value, I'm totally in agreement with you. I mean, because I wouldn't consider myself a maximalist. And no. I like the industry and the technology overall, because I like what I'm a tech person. So I mean, I like innovation. But I'm in agreement with you. Bitcoin is the king. I mean, it literally is digital gold. And a lot of people need to go through and get the basic understanding, so that they won't get off into all of these alternative coins. You know, now granted, I do mess with these alternative coins, but I go in with my eyes opened up. My strategy is, because I'm not a trader either, because one thing that people don't understand about traders and why they should really definitely make sure they take your course before they jump around is because 9 out of every 10 traders are not profitable.
And yeah.
I mean, that part alone, you know, so when these people, I find it amusing because knowing that, and when I'm just looking at just what you're talking about, looking at Bitcoin over the last 10 years, if you've been dollar cost averaging, because when I talk about cryptocurrencies on the channel, I'm talking about dollar cost averaging to it. If you're going to play around in these alternative coins, then that's the gambling part.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do, okay. Because, I got some friends who love to go play poker, and I know I got another friend who likes to shoot dice, but the guy that I know that likes to shoot dice is the most frugal individual that you will ever run across. I mean, so there is balance there, but at the end of the day, I'm totally agreement with you. Bitcoin is definitely where it's at. And just like you said, if one third world country jumps in, this thing could go from 11,000, which is where it is about now, all the way up to 100,000 in no time.
Yeah. And those numbers are real. And so, like, when I first started learning about Bitcoin, I was really home from prison like a year and a half. And my friend Bitcoin Zay, the author of Bitcoin and Black America, he was just telling me about it. And he was like, yeah, man, you can do trading. I'm like, man, I'm not about to be sitting here and trading this. Like, I'm not saying I don't have the risk to trade. I'm like, bro, I said, listen, I'm working to just buy this thing. You know, I'm not going to sit here and trade it. And, you know, I'm not doing all of that. Because, like you said, 9 times out of 10 of them are losses. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bro, I don't know. Like, nah, I'm not doing that. Because even if, like, it was just always my thinking, like, well, you know, I could do that. But why not just let it grow? Like, I knew nothing about financial. I knew about investments, but I didn't know where to get them. I didn't know anything about that when I came home from prison. One thing that helped me learn about it was Bitcoin. And so to me, it was like every dollar I can make that I could save, it need to be into this. Like, don't need to go nowhere else. Like, for a while, I didn't buy shoes. I didn't buy clothes. You know, it was just buying Bitcoin. And, you know, that's really where my mindset was. And so, for individuals who never knew of Bitcoin, never heard of it, it was like, all right, how can I get this out here to the world? How can I also make it a business? And some of the first things I did was just, I did like one-on-one consultations for like the longest. And it was just all like, it was all spur of the moment stuff. Like, I would post about it, people would ask me. And, you know, we would meet and sit down. But now it's just like, you know, I know, like, me coaching has helped me learn how I can actually build a business and something around it. But, like, I felt like, you know, we as a people, we can't just keep sitting here hoping, you know, that things go a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people look at the price and they say, man, $11,000, that's a lot of money. It's like, I mean, you pay for more things. You just, and a lot of people don't know, they don't have to put 11 grand in it all at once. But they start worrying about, well, you know, well, this happens, well, this happens. And it's like, that's why I created that course, because people have all these questions. They have all these assumptions.
Yep.
You have all of this information out here. And, you know, a lot of information can cause you not to take action.
Yep. And you know, and also just to piggyback on that point as well, and there's another reason people need to be taking like your course as well, because information on the internet is scattered all around. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's where do you start? What's really legit? What's not? And is this stuff going to be put in a chronological order that you can be able to really digest it in such a way that's right for you? You know, and on top of that, if you're looking at the wrong channel, they're going to be pushing a coin that they are trying to usually dump on you. they trying to dump something on you. I mean, and if you're not really out there messing around and you're not astute, then you'll get dumped on. You know, I mean, so that taking courses like yours is definitely a plus. I totally recommend it because a lot of people aren't going to be like me and just, a lot of people aren't going to be technologically inclined and going to have instincts to be, ooh, that kind of look like a scam. I'm going to stay away from that. Or yeah. I'll kind of mess around with that. But if I lose my money, okay. Some people really just want to just put it in and watch it in and watch it grow. And that's fine as well. And I'm glad you actually got something going like that from us. And hopefully while they're talking to you about Bitcoin, they'll, you know, get on your consulting as on your life coaching as well and get their mind right.
I mean, it's all there. Right. And when, you know, and like you said, you do have a lot of people who, you know, you guys like you say, individuals like you who technically inclined to look at things, but there are those people who just like, hey, you know, I just need to know. Cause it's like, if they're like me, and then these are the type of people, you know, I notice they just want to know what it does and like, you know, how will this work for me and what do I have to go through? Cause like my overall goal is for people to experience a 10x return and better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I experienced that, it was in 2018, 2018, one of those. It was late 2017, early 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin was like 20 G's, and I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like, it's like, damn. And it's people I've known, you know, you start seeing they just have this look on their face, even through like messaging on the internet, you can tell they got the long face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, you have an opportunity to grab a piece of something different. Like, could you get a whole Bitcoin? I'm sure you can, but if you were to get a third of a Bitcoin and, you know, let's say Bitcoin does go to $100,000. I mean, you know, if you never had $30,000 or $40,000 before, then, you know, your life, you could do something very different. Plus you're on this side of 40 grand with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Your life should be a lot cheaper than what it should be using fiat. Like, that's another thing people understand, like value.
Yep.
You know, people think money is valuable because everybody wants it. That's not valuable.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's just there. You know, like, that doesn't make the dollar valuable. It just makes people, you know, it's what you can buy things with it. But, you know, if your dollar is getting destroyed by inflation and
mm-hmm.
like I'm talking about now, the GDP, but the GDP and the national debt is going to be all the same somewhere along that. It's like,
yes,
what is the dollar really doing? Like, you know, like, again, there was another saying, like, the devil is in the details. People don't really want to look at those details. They just want to go on autopilot. Okay, I'm good. I don't really want to, you know, step into all that. It's like that comfort zone.
Yep.
And
meanwhile, and just to piggyback on just what you're saying, I'm totally in agreement with you because inflation is the one thing that we don't think about. And most of us, especially us as Black people, most of us are in the middle class. You know what I'm saying? We don't make over. We hadn't crossed so far over. I mean, so inflation hits us the hardest. We feel it a lot more. And the smart money has been going into Bitcoin in droves. I mean, I know you heard about MicroStrategy.
This is the second. I have to look it up. Somebody just brought this up again. You the second one to bring it up. And I was meaning to look it up, but I had some wild events take place. But
Right.
I'm gonna look it up, though. I got you.
I'll give you the 2-second version. Think about this now. You got this company, publicly traded company, that's done put $400 and some million into Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's
Yeah, I heard about that.
Now, here's the really interesting thing, right? They did, the way that they did it was so player. I have no other way to even put it. They did it so player that they were buying this stuff in small amounts so that they didn't drive up the price.
Right.
Now, exactly. Now, think about this. If they did this and they accumulated 400 or some million, who else do you think could possibly be doing the same thing right now, but we just don't know about it just yet? The thing that I tell people and why I think is real important for people to take advantage of courses like yours is so that they can get the epiphany that we have, so that, because see, what's going to end up happening, and you probably know this as well as I do, by the time the normal customer gets the aha moment, or as I like to say, the oh shit moment, you know what I'm saying? When everything goes wrong and the only thing you can do is say, oh shit. You know, when the market, when the retail investor gets the oh shit moment, Bitcoin is going to already be at 50, 60, 70, 80 grand. And then everybody's going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you hear what was happening with Bitcoin? People going to be hitting your phone. Justin, you still got that course that you were talking about?
Yeah. People going to come to a point where it's like they'll only be able to, you know, go. It might get to a point where buying one Bitcoin will become, you know, something like an anomaly. Like, it's just, it'll get so crazy that you'll only be able to brag about, well, you know, I got 0.05 of Bitcoin, I'm good. But, you know, people with a whole Bitcoin, you have a whole Bitcoin, by then you'll be able to make more whole Bitcoins. But because one thing I learned with money, like, your intelligence rises with money. Your intelligence has to rise to reach a certain level of money. And, you know, when it comes to like something like that, you got one whole, you, the price could get so crazy and away from you that it's like almost paying a house payment. And you'll be like, dang, like, you know, I mean, you can still receive great returns, but having a whole Bitcoin could become very, it's going to start becoming very difficult. The price drops though, but it's still going to become very difficult at the moment, because it's going to start showing, the world's going to start showing you that it's not really for you. The fiat money is not really for you again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's really sad to me. And this gets back to the mindset thing, that people don't want to really just take the time to look at the writing on the wall. I mean, because it's, if we just simply look around, even with what's happening right now. And I mean, if we go back to 2008 and look at the real estate crisis, when that jumped off, and we look at that bailout, it doesn't have to, we don't have to speculate too hard to know where the money went and where it didn't go. We back again in the same type of situation. This Black Swan event comes up, and once again, we see where the money goes and where the money doesn't go. And so I look at Bitcoin and, well, even the cryptocurrency market, but definitely Bitcoin as the stable, as the store of value. I look at Bitcoin as the gold standard. You know, like your kids, your child, my kids, my grandkids, they aren't going to be thinking about the physical regular gold. They're going to be like, oh, well, we're going to do this Bitcoin.
I know Bitcoin.
Yeah. You
know, they're going to only know Bitcoin. And like, that's probably one of the greatest things. It's like, you know, you're going to have a generation of children that just know, like, they know this, you know, like, kind of like how, you know, for me and my generation, we knew the cell phone better than our parents. Now it's just like, you know, that same thing can happen again. You know, that same thing is going to happen again. And to the point, like, you know, we just have to get out of the reason I even got into Bitcoin was because I just felt like we was always late to some party.
Yep.
You know, like a lot of my friends, they're talking the whole, you know, Forex, the real estate, and it's good. Like, I'm not debating, I'm not knocking anything someone says. you know, for their investment. But it's like, yo, like, you got to start taking a step on, you know, what's newly happening. Like, for me, I always want to look at what's taking place in the world that is so major that it's going to change the world. And, you know, you got to want to be an early adopter in something, man. Just everything seems to be consumer based now. Like,
yep.
Like, so, and it's just like, you know, we make it because we say, like, well, I ain't got the money to do that. I'm just going to do this. But I got tired of being behind. Like,
exactly.
I got friends who talk about mobile trailers again. They are great. But I want to print houses. You know, I want a 3D printer. Like, I want to be the first one to do it. I want to be early. Want to be there early.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you're there early, the cost might be cheaper, but the risk is longer. The ride is tough, you know, but that's what it pays to be there early, because once you 4 to 5 years in, you an expert to some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you an authority to some people. You an authority to the newly found experts. You know, like, period. So that's that position. That's one thing I learned about in business, about positioning, like, position. What position do you want to be in? And, like, I mean, those are the points that Bitcoin saved me a lot. You know, like,
I know that's right.
You know, like, just coming home and not really having no jobs and the money, it was just like, well, the price of Bitcoin went up. I can pay off something. You know, I can pay for something. I probably didn't even want to do it, but that's when I started learning, like, you know, just what money, how money works, not just getting money. Like, we just get money. We don't know how it works. Like, everybody's going to go to a period of not having money come in. Like, especially as an entrepreneur. And if you got a job, you know, you're going to have those periods where everything just hits you at once. Like, you gotta take money serious, because there are times where, you know, things can be going so good, everything going well, but it's like everything is a linear and you got to prepare for those moments. And like I said, I didn't know much about money. So I've had to liquidate what I thought was going to be my emergency. But I knew how Bitcoin works so well that I could, like, make it what I wanted to make it. But after a while, I started getting tired of playing that game. And I just, like, you know, let's really be honest about, like, what it is we have here, you know, what it is you're making and how to make that work, you know, and how to just do things in a way that's safe. Like, because for me, I noticed that, A, there were already rules to money out there. There were just no rules to Bitcoin. So I'm going to take the rules that have been made for money and apply to Bitcoin and just see how that, you know, that works better. You know, like, it's already a better money, a better storage value. But if you don't have no real rules or principles, you know, around money, it's just, you're going to treat it like it's just nothing else. So, like, I really started looking at how to treat this thing seriously over time and not just, oh, I got it, I'm good, you know, blah, blah, blah. This, like, always building on top of what I know.
No, okay. All right, so let me ask you this then. So, how do you, I don't even have to actually ask that question. So as far as the storage, I was going to go in and talk about farming and all that, but that's on the alternative side. That's anti-maximalist. So as far as with storage, now, how do you feel about these places that the typical consensus is not your keys, not your crypto, right? So how are you in regards to these places like BlockFi, where they'll hold your Bitcoin and give you, like, a percentage on, you know, and give you some stable coins?
I don't even understand what that means. I don't really get BlockFi. Like, because people are like, well, you know, you receive interest on it. Like, what? Like, what am I receiving interest?
Oh, wait, you muted yourself. Unmute yourself. Yeah. Oh, wait, we froze. Oh man, I hope I didn't lose it. Oh, there you go. Hello. Oh, there you go.
Hello.
Yep, I'm with you. Yeah. Yep.
No, I don't really understand. Like, I guess because I'm like, you know, you don't need anyone to hold it, and you know, what am I receiving interest on? You know, like, and that's why I would tell people, like, you know, this isn't a regular money,
right?
And like, you don't need all that. You know, you don't need that to, because people love saying, well, you know, they'll use the words like, you're getting interest, compound interest, this, that, and third on your Bitcoin. And to me, it sounds like that it has the SEC written all over it. You know, somewhere along the line, you're going to notice that, like, I looked at it, I read on it. Someone brought it to me at my attention before, but it just really doesn't sound useful for Bitcoin. Like, I'm giving you my Bitcoin, right? And then that's a red flag, number one. I'm giving you my Bitcoin. And then within doing that, I'm gaining interest, like, on it. For what? When I could just gain the gains from it.
Right, right,
like,
right.
I mean, when I could just, like, so if Bitcoin appreciates astronomically, am I going to get that? Or do I got to wait, you know, like, even if I have to wait, it's a problem. Because like, I should be able to do it when I should be able to get it when I want. It's mine. Why am I giving it to you? If I'm not paying for a good or service, then I'm really wasting time. Like, and I'm not saying, you know, someone accepts Bitcoin as payment. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the fact of, like, you're saying I need to give you my stuff. Like I said, I don't know much about finance, right? But when it comes to Bitcoin, that just doesn't sound too promising to be a part of.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you. I mean, and like I said, and I get it. I understand the concept of it, but I'm just kind of old school with it. Like, I'm old school with it, like you talking about. You know, I prefer to hold my own stuff because it's not your keys, not your crypto. And if these entities fall apart, or if something happens, quote unquote, we all know how that goes, a Mt. Gox or something like that, I'm like, I'm skeptical, man. I've seen people even getting it with this yield farming thing and all that, and I'm like, I'm gonna be the boring guy that just the dollar cost average. And I mean, yeah, if there's an altcoin out there, yeah, now I did make money on Chainlink. I caught Chainlink when they were like at 4 and they went up to 20, so I sold it. But I sell that stuff and put it back into Bitcoin, you know. But I'm telling people to do normal stuff, you know what I mean? Take your course, you know, learn the basics. Just the slow way is okay. You won't have to worry about falling for some nonsense. You log into something and your stuff is gone. But I appreciate your time, man. I'm going to I know you got to move around. I am going to let you go. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me on the podcast today.
The Too Rich to Miss Podcast.